This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The old saying, laughter is the best medicine, has a lot of truth in it. It can help break up a monotonous day. It can relieve stress, make your workplace more productive, and just in general, make you feel good. My guest is professional speaker and comedian Kent Rader. He is a co-star of the Baby Boomer Comedy Show. And if you'd like, you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kent, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Mark, thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure.
And what brings you to Cincinnati?
Actually, I have a show tonight at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. It's a benefit show for the Cincinnati Shakespeare. So I will be there by myself, though, this time. I do a Baby Boomer comedy show, but tonight I'll be alone, so...
Yeah, your co-star of the Baby Boomer comedy show, what's that about? Or as they say in the comic world, what's up with that?
Well, we do a clean stand-up comedy show, and it is basically, Jan usually does about 40 minutes. I usually do about 50 minutes, and then we wrap it up by taking questions from the audience. So just a good combination, but it's a clean show, and... about topics that baby boomers would relate to. So,
in the days when we used to ride our bikes without a helmet,
without
and
a helmet,
crazy things like that.
I was born before seat belts, you know, stuff like that. So yes, and we talk about our lives today, growing older, grandchildren. I've been married for 30 years, so it's a different. Different life today.
30 years. Congratulations.
30 years. Thank you. Thank you.
I hate to ask. I got to ask you this. Does your family supply stories and material
they
for
do.
You?
They do. But I always, I have a whole section about my wife. I have a whole section about my children who are both grown. Now I have a grandson, so I have stuff about him. But I always run it past them before I do anything. When I write something, I run it past them. I had my daughter who's very good with comedy. I ran something past her when she was in high school. Do you think this is funny? It was about her, and she said, well, you can do it, but it's not funny. And I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and it died every night, and I finally had to admit, you're right, it's just not funny. So,
so you say your daughter's pretty good with comedy.
My daughter, she actually works for the Cincinnati, she performs for the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company and is very good with comedy, and a good judge of comedy, I should say.
So. As a genetic thing, or is she just learned by example?
I don't know. She's much better, she's much more talented than I'll ever be, so.
That's great. You describe yourself as a clean comedian. Is it tough to do clean comedy?
Well, it is different. When I first started, you don't really know what is funny if you're using profanity or if you're using whatever. And so I wanted to make sure I knew what was funny. Plus, I do a lot of corporate speaking, so it has to be clean to be able to do that. So I never really had any desire to do anything other than clean comedy. And you truly do learn to write what's funny. I've known Chris Rock for 8 or 10 years now, and I saw him last year at a show, and he came up to me and he said, you know, I tell young comedians today, write it clean because you can always dirty it up later, but you truly don't know what's funny unless you write it clean at the first. And so that's kind of his advice today as well. And he's a great comedian, though, Chris is.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you think the state of comedy is today?
Well, I think part of the problem is that the audience that sees Comedy Central is basically a 20-year-old audience, 25-year-old audience, and that's what they want. I believe that there's a huge audience, or we have proven it with the Baby Boomer comedy show. There is a huge audience out there that wants clean comedy for people that are a little older, and it is more difficult to work that way, but there are great benefits to it because we routinely sell out 400 and 500 seat theaters just because we are clean and that we're talking about the stuff that our generation would like to hear.
Yeah, that relatability factor has
exactly.
to be a big thing. I mean, I'm 54 years old, and I keep thinking, who's going to do the comedy that appeals to me? So that's what you're...
Well, I'm 54 as well, and so it's...
we're confessing this.
Yeah, okay. We're confessing our ages. But it's... by the way, you don't look 54, but...
Neither do you.
But that was really what I wanted to do. I wanted to be clean because I truly do find what is funny by working in that with that fashion.
How do you go? I think you were originally an accountant, is that right?
I was an accountant for 17 years.
And a chief financial officer?
I was, yes.
How in the world do you go from being an accountant and a CFO to being a comedian?
Well, I tell people it's easy if you're a bad accountant. So, yeah. But I was one of those people. I was always funny, but when I went to college, I needed a job, and accounting. It was easy for me, and so I went into accounting, and I was good, but I never really fit in because I had a sense of humor, I guess. So,
but 513-419-7100. If you would like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk to Jimmy from Norwood. Good afternoon, Jimmy.
Hello, Kent. I enjoy you very much. You're a very funny fellow.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I'm glad you called in.
Hey, I wanted to ask you how you feel about this. People are very critical of Lance Armstrong. You know, everybody seems to have an opinion about Lance Armstrong. I think he's really great. He did all those drugs, and then he won the Tour de France 7 times. When I do that many drugs, I can't even find my bike.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Very good.
We'll end it on that.
Very good.
Thank you. 513-419-7100. I don't think that qualifies as clean comedy quite, do you?
Well, yeah.
It's borderline.
It's borderline.
513-419-7100, the phone number to call. And you can also comment at talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And do you consider yourself to be a storyteller, like, say, Bill Cosby or Bob Newhart, or are you more of a one-liner of guy?
I'm very much a storyteller. I was telling somebody yesterday that I grew up, my grandmother was a storyteller. I had a great-great aunt who was a storyteller, and that's what I loved. And so I grew up to be a storyteller. Now, Jan, who I share the Baby Boomer show, she is a typical setup punchline, the old Rodney Dangerfield type of comic, and is very good at it. I'm not. I love telling a story.
Do you have a favorite story that you tell? Or
I have a story about my children when they were, Keith was 5 and our daughter Maggie was 3. And I came home one night. My wife said, unless you want the house to be a murder scene, you need to get those kids away from me. And I took them to the Pizza Hut, and Maggie had forgot to put underpants on. And so it's without a doubt my favorite story. And it's one of those stories. When I first started writing comedy, you wanted to make sure it was funny. That story, every word of it is true. It's the exact way it happened. And the first night I did it, nothing could follow it, and it's still my favorite story to this day.
And I do have to ask you, because we're talking about you making that career change, how did your family react when you said, I want to be a comedian?
Well, I got to tell you, my wife, and I get choked up when I tell it, my wife is one of the most supportive people in my life. And I was at a precipice of becoming a partner in an accounting firm. And I came home and she said, how did the meeting go? And I said, well, I'm a partner, but I don't want to do it. I want to be a speaker. And without a moment's hesitation, she said, then do it. And she has always been, when I told her I wanted to do stand up, she said, then do it. She told me years later that she thought I was nuts, but she also told me that had I continued as an accountant, she didn't think I would probably be here today, and so she's quite happy with the change.
She's glad you did that.
Very much.
What was the most difficult part of making that career switch, and did it take you long to feel comfortable that you were going to make it in your new line
of
work?
It probably took, I've been doing it 16 years, it probably took 7 or 8 years before I ever felt comfortable. I remember at one point my mother said, well, you need a fallback plan, and of course counting was the fallback plan, but it was probably 7 or 8 years that before I felt like, okay, this is, I'll be able to do this the rest of my life.
How important is comedy to living in general? Does it really make for a better life?
I tell you, to me, it's the way I've always dealt with stress. It's the way I've dealt with change. And I believe that today we notice that in ever increasing levels of stress in the workplace and at home, and it's because of the pressures. I mean, today our society has changed to where we have dual income families, we have single parents. And what humor does is it changes your perspective on a situation. And as it changes your perspective, thus it changes your thoughts. And so I believe it's one of the most important tools we have. And it doesn't cost you or me or our company a thing to include more humor in our life.
So part of your work is getting into corporations and imparting how important comedy and humor can be. What do you try to tell corporate audiences about comedy in the workplace?
What I tell them is that our stress is based upon our thoughts, and as we experience humor, it changes our thoughts. If you feel happy today, it's because you've had happy thoughts that have preceded those feelings of happiness. If you feel stressed, it's because you've had stressful thoughts that have preceded. And What I say is that our thoughts about stressful situations are no more important than our thoughts about any other situation. And I say that the number one fear Americans have is public speaking, and number two is death. And Jerry Seinfeld has a great line, says that that means if you're at a funeral, you'd rather be in the box than delivering a eulogy. And I don't have those fears of being in front of an audience. And so it is truly our thoughts that cause our stress or whatever feeling we have. And so I think once people begin to understand where that stress is coming from, then they can better handle it. And I believe humor is the way to handle it because it does change your perspective on situations.
Yeah, our blood pressure might be a lot lower if we engage in humor more often.
Very much so.
513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's speak with Nancy from Westchester. Good afternoon, Nancy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, thank you. And how
about
yourself?
Thanks for calling, Nancy.
Oh, doing well, thanks. I wanted to tell you, I'm so impressed that you moved from accounting to comedy. I love that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's an odd.
I love it, and I can relate a little bit just because I've been a chemist for the last 15 years, and scientists and chemists don't have much of a personality either, so I appreciate your...
Well, I hope it's going well for you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Oh, it's not too bad. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
We appreciate the comment. 513-419-7100. If you have a question or comment you'd like to make, email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for comedy to improve customer service at a company?
Very much so. I've actually just started writing another book about customer service and the importance of, I think what you do is you build a bond with another person. When you laugh together, there's a bond between you. And one of the things I have begun to talk about is that as we experience laughter, what we find is that it not only improves the office, but it improves your relationships with your customers as well. I go to a bank and I will actually wait for a particular teller, Matt, because I enjoy talking to him and he makes me laugh. And so I mean, I love my bank because of that. And there aren't a lot of people out there who can say they love their bank.
Now, your stint as a CFO, that was in the healthcare industry,
yes,
wasn't
sir.
It?
Yes.
What do you think about using comedy in hospitals as a form of treatment, lifting hopes? Laughter is medicine, so to speak.
Very much so. You know, I was traveling, had the stomach flu, passed out in my hotel room. They took me to a hospital, and I'd had a 2-inch gash in the back of my head. And the nurse was named Sandy Sumsky. It was in St. Louis, Missouri, and she had to shave the hair off my head. And as she was shaving, it was just like pulling the hair out. And I finally said, you know, it kind of hurts. And she goes, I don't doubt it. I haven't shaved my legs all winter. And I laughed. And I was feeling so bad. But she was one of those people, you could tell that people would do anything she asked them to simply because she made them laugh. She was truly a leader in that hospital. And all it was her humor. I have no idea if her technical skills were good. I do know that she made me feel better simply because she was there and made me laugh.
Oh, I bet that did make you feel
very
a lot better,
so.
More comfortable and more at ease
very
right away.
So. Well, you're in a strange city. I remember I called my wife right before the ambulance got there and I said, you know, I've had this, if you don't hear from me, they're taking me to a hospital. And I was scared, and she made me laugh, and I relaxed. Everything was going to be okay.
Are companies looking for this kind of thing? Do you get a lot of response from corporate leaders saying, yeah, come in and talk to us. We really need this.
I do a lot of associations. So I'll do like the Ohio Hospital Association or the Missouri Nurses Association. I do more associations, but there are a lot of people I believe that are beginning to see the benefit of laughter. And like I said earlier, it doesn't cost us a thing. And when you have companies that are being cost conscious, they are looking for alternatives to help retain employees, to help develop creativity, and to help develop customer service as well.
Has society lost its sense of humor?
Oh, I don't I think certain members of our society have, but I think we have, especially in the political world, we have a very caustic environment. But I believe that there are still people out there. Al Franken is a great example of a senator with a sense of humor. And you'll hear him say something, and you got to know even people that disagree with him have to laugh at what he says.
Well, talk about a big career change for him. Yeah. Coming from the comedy world, now he's a lawmaker.
Very much so. Very much so.
Probably a bigger change than what you went through.
Well, I would say probably so. He went the other direction, but...
He became more serious.
Very much so. Yes. Very much so.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Dale from Anderson. Good afternoon, Dale.
Hi. My question is, how do we send a message to the humor industry that we want more clean humor?
Good
because
question.
Because the world seems to be going the other direction.
Well, I think that the thing that you can do is by supporting shows that are clean. Brian Regan is a fantastic clean humor. Bill Cosby, of course, Jerry Seinfeld. I think by going to their shows, Jim Gaffigan, another great comedian that is clean. I think by going to their shows and showing those people, the problem is that the people that are going to shows are younger, and that's the type of humor that they expect. And the other problem is that so many people see Comedy Central and they think that's the only humor out there, and it isn't. I mean, there's a lot of great clean comedians. Vic Henley is a fantastic comedian out of New York that is clean as well.
Thank you very much, Dale, for the question. And it's kind of like the old comedy Western. Reminds me of that. Support your local sheriff.
Exactly.
Support your local comedian.
Exactly. And when you find clean comedians, make sure that their shows are well supported and just like you said, just support them along the way.
How do you incorporate comedy into the workplace? Should we have a room that we dedicate and make it our stand-up comedy club?
Probably not. What I encourage people to do is to make leaders of those people that have a sense of humor. Like I said with Sandy Sumsky, the nurse, she was a leader in that hospital, and encourage her to continue. My wife is a school teacher, and there was a tech ed teacher named Mr. Burks, one of the funniest guys ever, and they were very good about making sure that Mr. Burks was kind of in the forefront, because not only did he make the teachers laugh, he made the students laugh. And when the students laughed, they would do anything Mr. Burks asked them to. He never had discipline problems because he made them laugh and kids enjoyed being in his class. I was my eighth grade teacher, English teacher, was Mr. White, and I was the kid that made people laugh and got in trouble. And he allowed me to get up 5 minutes on Friday afternoon and do stand-up in front of my 8th grade English. And I would watch Johnny Carson and memorize jokes. And it was just, that was the start of it for me.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Kent Rader is a professional speaker and comedian and co-star of the Baby Boomer Comedy Show. He'll be performing tonight at a benefit for the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company.